The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Hopham, Chief Executive Officer of XP Factory. XPF is ticker. How's it going, Rich?
Really good, Justin. How are you?
Yeah, well, listen, I was going to say you must be tired, but, looking at your final results for the year ended the 31st December. We've seen the trading update now. You've got the full results come out, and we're, quite a way on from that. But 2022 was a hectic year for you as far as expansion, and we'll talk all about that. But, and in fact, if you look at some of the results you got there, and the market's awful at the moment. We know that. You put some cracking results. The share price went up, and then you get people taking profit and it comes back down, and so it's really annoying. But if you could there, Richard, just explain for people not familiar with its XP Factory, what's the business about?
Sure. So XP Factory, the experience factory, we run two experiential leisure brands. We run Escape Hunt and Boom Battle Bars. Escape Hunt is the global leader in escape the room experiences. We have a entirely owned and operated UK estate of 20 sites. We own another 3 Escape Hunt sites internationally, and we have a franchised international business within Escape Hunt of a further 23 sites. So quite a lot of footprint there, and we can talk about the specifics of that business, I'm sure, a little further into this conversation. Mm-hmm. Boom Battle Bar is a much newer business for us. It was a fledgling business which we bought in November 21. It had very little trading, but it did have a really attractive property pipeline. And we were incredibly excited about it because it allowed us to go deeper into the experience market with competitive socializing. So that is large format bars that have axe throwing, crazy golf. They might have shuffleboards. They might have beer pong, obviously anchored by cocktails, by food, by drink. Really exciting place to be. And so we'll talk about this again in more detail, I'm sure. But it was a very, very aggressive year of expansion for us with Boom. I'm taking this tiny, weeny, fledgling business into something of some scale over the last 12 months.
Yeah, no, it's doing very well. And do you know what? Just, as a point of personal reference here, I mean, I have friends come down once a quarter from different parts of the country, and we like to pop up and do different things. And we'll try and do something different, And the last time we went out, we did go to the Boom Battle Bar in Southampton. And literally, like I said, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was jam-packed. And you couldn't move by 5 o'clock. But they're coming down again.
It's a great site, that unit in Southampton. So Southampton is a franchise site for us. Really, really well-run business. And it's great because it's actually quite a lot smaller than so many of our other booms. Mm. But it does incredibly well on a rate per square foot basis. So it's a really, really good site. Customers are loving it. So great addition to Southampton's nightlife.
Yeah, it's in a good space there, the West Keys, with all the restaurants on, all that shopping area, so it's in a very good place. But literally, you've got to book for a weekend, at least a month in advance now. And in fact, we're going there again this weekend. And very rarely we've done two things, the same on a trot. So that's testament to, how easy. I mean, basically, we want to go out, have a few drinks, have a bit of fun. You go to Boom Battle Bar, it's all there. You don't have to come up with sort of different things and put them all together. You can drink and have fun, So, but let's your highlights, lots of highlights. I mean, if you could then, I want to pick out, if you could, off the top of your head, say 3 financial highlights you're most proud of and say 3 operational, if you could, Richard.
Sure. I suppose the 3 financial highlights are clearly, they're going to be the obvious ones, I guess, aren't they? The 3 financial highlights are closing the year in round numbers, £23 million worth of sales, having a landed adjusted EBITDA, that is EBITDA before IFRS 16 of £2.6 million, and closing the year with a cash balance of £3.2 million. And I'll talk to why those for me are the financial highlights, I guess. The sales number, that 23 million, is so important in the context of where we have been. So you don't have to step back very far to go back to 2019 when we were a small business. We had 8 Escape Hunts trading, and we closed that year at £4.9 million worth of sales. So to see over a very short period of time and a period of time so adversely impacted by COVID, a 350% increase in revenues is obviously a pretty good place to be. A similar kind of story for the adjusted EBITDA of 2.6 million. If you, again, go back to that same period, we made a loss of 1.7, albeit planned to, but nonetheless, to see that transformation through the period has been wonderful. And The reason the cash balance of 3.2 million is important, this is a year in which we invested £9.2 million worth of capital into new sites. So to have a cash balance at the end of the year of 3.2 million, and indeed for that cash balance actually to have increased to 4 million in April, and that increase is after another sort of £700,000 or £800,000 worth of capital type expenses, and indeed some deferred payments have been paid down, really gives you a scale idea for just the momentum that the businesses have behind it and just how much it has grown over a short period of time.
Yeah.
In terms of the operating highlights, I suppose there are always going to be many things that you could look to, but the first for me has to be just the sheer number of sites that we opened. We delivered 24 sites across the year. We did 5 escape hunts and 19 booms. And I think for any leisure business, that's probably unprecedented. But for one so small as ours, when we came into that year, I'd say it was really quite remarkable. So then the second highlight for me would be operationally just how well our team has come together. You know, if you set a team a task to open something so ridiculous, it takes a very special bunch of people to get galvanized behind that central theme, to really want to drive the very best of hospitality forwards. And indeed, to be capably able to deliver is quite something special. So seeing that team come together, the huge recruitment that had to go into it, seeing the way that they've rallied, seeing the internal promotions that we've been able to make operationally has been wonderful to watch and really quite humbling. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the third operational highlight will always for me be the customer satisfaction upon which you are delivering. So seeing a 97% customer satisfaction rating across both brands, you know, it doesn't really get much better than that. And that is the reason we do what we do. So very, very good to see.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I'm astounded by the market reaction, or lack of reaction. And you can tell we're in a bear market. I mean, in a bull market, this would be rallying like crazy. You get a microcap stock doing 228% top line growth. Not only that, but going from loss making to starting to generate cash. You know, we're not talking about small figures. I've seen companies, you know, microcaps do something like 300,000 to sort of 1 million, and you know, go crazy, and they're still loss making. You've done, you know, like I said, gone from below 7 million up to 23 million, opened 27 boom battle bars in a year, and it's a very exciting concept. I know, because I've been now, this is my second time, and I can't see that it's fading for a long, long time. It's you know, it's having fun in the pub. You know, what's going to age about that? But I mean, I did not understand the underreaction. You just realised this bear market is so, you know, it's exhausting mentally, because you've put that amount of work in. You know, you've got excellent results, and actually, what does the share price do? I think the market is missing this or something. This is the kind of thing people are looking for. These, you know, whenever you're looking at microcap, small cap stocks, you're looking for very high growth companies, and you are a very high growth company and really delivering on every metric. And yet, what's the reaction from the market? Oh, take a bit of profit. Yeah. It's nuts, isn't it?
I mean, without doubt, I mean, clearly there is a frustration around that. But unfortunately, that is probably not one of the things that I can control. What we can control is how we go on to deliver within the company. And I guess the bit that is probably lost within the numbers, but is, you know, at least as relevant and important, is actually the fact that of those boom sites that we opened, particularly the owner-operator sites that we opened, they were basically back-ended, not entirely, but they were, you know, in the main back-ended to Q3, Q4. Mm-hmm. So what that means is two things. One, it means that you've had none of the maturing benefit of any of its economics. And two, it means that you don't have the benefit in year of the sales. So if you just took that existing site base, which we delivered in 22, and just allowed it to mature, you would expect that £23 million worth of sales to look more like 35, and you expect that £2.6 million of EBITDA to look more like 4.5, if you did almost nothing other than allow the sites to mature. And within those numbers, you know, even on that fledgling boom owned and operated estate that we've talked about, we delivered 15% in round numbers EBITDA in the year owner-operated in that business. Now, again, when you consider that back-ended nature of the openings sees you diluting your EBITDA, not being accretive, the reason for that being you expect to open sites that are loss-making initially because you're putting more resource into labor. You're not getting any sales leverage at that stage because your sales will grow. So you're losing money in those first weeks. With that all notwithstanding, we still delivered 15% on that business. So when you set that against that internal target of 25% for a mature estate, you'd suggest that we're very much in the right kind of area.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. And I think people are missing the fact that, you know, this was a sort of, you know, a capital intensive year. Because, like you say, you have to put, you know, you have to build the sites, you have to train people, all that kind of stuff, and learn as you go along. And this, the operations now get smoother. The costs are in now. That's, you know, pretty much the costs are there. So the margins get better as time goes on. You get more efficient. People can become more aware of the sites and all that stuff. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, forecast next year to do sort of 84% growth on top of that, so, and it's carrying on another sort of 25% on top of that, so it's looking like it's good. So, but I think people may be worried. I mean, we've heard this a lot about the cost of living strikes, because like I say, you said most of your sites were sort of, you know, open towards the back end of last year, so you haven't started generating meaningful revenues, but then on top of that, your busy section of the year was the Christmas period, and then all these strikes, train strikes kicking in, where people did postpone events or even cancel them. Maybe that's hitting the share price or sentiment in some way. Are you getting affected by that? Because I know at the moment, you know, you're saying it's trading, current trading is looking very good, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, clearly I can't sit here and suggest that we're immune from those dynamics, but I do think we have a degree of insulation. And I think one of the points you just picked up on there was the train strike, et cetera, in Q4 trading. Now, obviously, for businesses like ours, you expect Q4 to be the absolute standout period of trading. And of course, we did trade incredibly well through that period, but we still suffered to the tune of many hundreds of thousands of pounds in December. Now, that notwithstanding, we still made our targets for the year. So you can extrapolate from that, you know, whatever you will. But clearly, you know, when people are not coming into central London and when central London have, you know, as we do for Boom particularly, you know, we trade some really big sites there, you are going to get impacted. So, but as I say, the key point there is that notwithstanding, we still made our numbers for the year. You know, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't come into Q1 with a degree of nervousness. Clearly, everybody reads the narratives around consumer headwinds, consumers, you know, propensity to spend or not. And I guess it's really pleasing to be able to say that through Q1, we just have not felt that dynamic particularly. And I think the reason for that is that we have a degree of insulation born of the fact that our business is precisely what customers are still looking to do at the point when they are perhaps restricting their expenditure in other areas. You know, the thing that people still want to do is come together with mates to socialize, to have fun, to have a, you know, enjoy a degree of escapism, so to speak. And indeed to bolster your mental well-being. So I think we're in a very, very good space given the current environment. And that certainly helps insulate us somewhat. And I think the second point as well is that around the other kind of headwind, which is clearly supply chain pricing. And we've made this point previously, but if you consider that £23 million worth of revenue, 10 of that was escape hunt, that's all game revenue. And then within the 13 delta, you have, you know, sort of five-ish of game revenue within Boom. So, you know, 15 out of £23 million has no cost of goods associated with it of any kind of consequence. So you have quite a significant degree of natural insulation from a lot of the supply pressures that are putting many other businesses in our sector under a lot of pressure. And the reason that is important is that it means you have the luxury of not being forced to push price through to the consumer in all cases. So many businesses have seen their supply chains ramp up in terms of the costs, and so they've had to put really aggressive price rises through to the consumers. We haven't had to do that. We have margins enough that we can absorb a little bit of that supply chain pricing, and we take the view, rightly or wrongly, that actually holding some really pertinent and key headline pricing is far and away the better thing to do. And even if that means our GP on wet, let's say, within Boom comes off a couple of points, we would hope to see an offset in volume. So, you know, I think we're in quite a fortunate position there. Yeah. And when you factor all those dynamics together and actually look at Q1 trading as we've announced, you've seen some quite remarkable numbers there. You've seen us obviously ahead of where we thought we would be as a management team on all metrics, sales, EBITDA, et cetera. You've seen Escape Hunt deliver 32% like-for-like sales Q1 over Q1 last year, within which you've seen the oldest seven sites, those seven sites built in 2017, deliver 18% like-for-like sales growth. And I might add that on those Escape Hunt units, those are still the very same game rooms that we built 6 years ago. So that is not like there's been a CapEx reinvestment into those units. That is underlying like-for-like sales growth born of volume. So that's a really good place to be. Now, on the boom side, yes, far less of a counterfactual in Q1. There are only four owned and operated sites trading against that period, but nonetheless, sales were up 44% like-for-like. So on every measure that you would want to consider us against, Q1 has been very, very good. And as I say, possibly born from a little bit of that insulation that we might have naturally against some of the consumer headwinds.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting because, you know, it's, I think it's borne out by, you know, holiday companies at the moment. Holidays are quite expensive, you know, but people are still spending. And I think it's like you say, people want experiences and they're foregoing, you know, the material items that cost more in favour of experiences. But yet, if you look at holiday companies as an investment model, like they got a lot of overhead there. You know, they got what planes, you know, the fuel, all that stuff. Whereas you literally, like I said, selling games and those original games in the escape rooms you have there are still good. You know, they're improving by 18%. That's amazing investment. So, so it does seem very good and well insulated. Now, what, I mean, you know, Boom Battle Bar is quite new, Escape Hunt is newish, but I mean, as you go on, like I said, I think it's just going to get better, isn't it? Because, like you said, this last year, quite capital intensive, getting things up and running, fitting stuff, all that kind of thing. But now, you know, what are you learning from Boom Battle Bar and Escape Hunt, and is there room for improvement, efficiencies, and scale, you know, for example?
Yeah, I mean, there really is. I mean, look, we're always going to be our own harshest critics. I've said this many times before. And so, you know, nothing will ever be quite good enough. So we will constantly be looking to learn. And actually, it's quite interesting, you know, having said what I said about never having gone back and changed out any escape rooms since opening the sites here in the UK. Mm-hmm. What we are doing for the first time, and in fact, what we're doing currently on Escape Hunt, is infilling, if that is the right word, some additional capacity where it is possible to do so. So on some of our top performing sites, you know, Watford's, Milton Keynes, Oxford, Bristol, etc., where there has been some additional capacity, and typically that has come from where we've put in corporate lounges back in the day, we've now realized that there is so much latent demand in these businesses that we should put in additional games rooms. So we're currently in the process of reinvesting in some new games rooms in a number of sites, which is really exciting for where our overall capacity can get to. So that's a very good thing to do. I think, you know, more generally, the business model in Escape Hunt has gone through many evolutions. I think now we're very, very stable. And, you know, throwing out 40% EBITDA at an operating level, I think points to some very, very good dynamics. So I don't know that we've got much to tweak in that operation per se, but really nice to be bolstering the capacity in certain sites. Yeah. On Boom, as you say, it's a much younger model and lots of dynamics are moving operationally. And indeed, you know, the way we've laid sites out, what we've got right, what we've got wrong. Yeah. I think that we have a few, as I would refer to them, first world problems within some of the big sites. So, you know, it's a great problem to have that in Oxford Street, as an example, we don't have enough bar capacity to adequately serve the numbers of customers who are waiting at the doors. So turning away some customers is a first world problem because we are in the process of adding an additional bar into that unit, which should make a huge difference on what we can actually kind of process, if that's the right word, on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. So, you know, we're doing a similar exercise in the O2 where we've been able to watch that site, learn from it and understand that, again, there is a bar opportunity on the ground floor of that two floor site, which we can really kind of go after and better maximize. We've learned with every additional build something new about the business. You know, we're learning more about the way customers flow. We're learning more and more about the way we attract customers, indeed who those customers are. And we will continue to do that. We are in the midst of a sort of a deep dive into our food within Boom. I think it's good, but it could be better. So there's a full-on project now in to try and improve that. And I think what the significant rate of growth afforded us last year was an opportunity this year to really double down on maximizing the opportunity that we have within the sites. Now, clearly, we are still going to be growing. Clearly, you know, we'll be doing a fair few sites this year as well, but nothing like so many. And instead, we're going back and making those operational tweaks to try and get even better.
Yeah. You mentioned corporate there a second, and you mentioned that a couple of times in your release. You're saying there's potential there, because I can see why there is. You know, corporates are always looking for things to do. And like I said, with the Boom Battle Bar, you've got it there ready-made. So how is corporate going?
Well, corporate's doing really well at the moment. I mean, again, obviously, we don't have a reference point for Boom Battle Bar to know where it can go to. But we are seeing in some of the bigger sites, unsurprisingly, the sites more centrally located in cities, corporate participation can be up to 20%. So, you know, what we learned in Q4 last year was that we weren't well enough resourced internally to be able to maximize that corporate opportunity. And by that, I mean, we didn't have enough resource to answer quickly enough all the phone calls, all the emails, get the bookings in. Again, it's a first world problem. So we've more than doubled the size of that team this year. Already in Q1, we have done the same corporate number as we did across the whole of last year. So that is focusing, you know, us in very much on that path. Where does it max out at? I don't know, but it's definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah, okay. So I want to focus on a quote from your chairman, Richard Rose, there in the release. He said, and someone picked up on this, he said, having achieved what we set out to do in 2022, our challenge now is to optimise the pace of rollout within the constraints of the capital we have available. And the person who read this and flagged to me picked up on the word capital and said, oh, is there a fundraise going on? So explain that if you could.
Sure. So, I mean, look, let's make the very obvious point. Clearly, we do not have limitless capital. And so every decision that we take is done in the context of maximizing the return on capital. So the reason why we are going back and reinvesting in our existing sites first is because we think that is where we get the very, very quickest return on capital. That's a sensible thing to do. The reason why, you know, we are doing some boom sites ever so slightly ahead of some escape hunt sites is because whilst the return on capital on escape hunt has been incredibly strong at 35%, because of the capital contributions we get for boom, we actually think it is even stronger on boom. Therefore, it comes a little bit further in the further forwards in the mix. But the points I would draw you to are, first of all, that cash number of £3.2 million at the end of the year, you know, that's a really good place to be as a starting position. I mentioned a while ago that, you know, April saw us at £4 million worth of cash, having additionally spent, you know, north of £700,000 on deferred payments for Cardiff and a little bit of additional capex as well. So the cash generation within that period, as you can see, was really quite significant over those 4 months. And it is that cash generation that we have combined with fit out funding opportunities, which again, we've talked about previously, that will allow us to continue the pace of rollout. You know, are we going to be able to go after 24 sites this year? Well, no, but would we want to be doing that? Also, no. We want to double down on maximizing the opportunity on what we have. You know, we're talking to opening, you know, sort of 5-6 booms, a couple of escape hunts, etc. That is still a very significant site growth in the context of our base. Mm-hmm. And we more than have the cash to fund that.
Yeah, okay. Second thing you said, and you've touched on it already, really, you said in the short term, the group strategy remains focused on building the UK presence whilst you take some initial steps to test international markets. Now, you start, is it Boom is in Dubai? Is that opening up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Boom's going to be opening up in Jumeirah in Dubai. If I'm honest, that is probably more opportunistic than strategic. We've got a fantastic operator on the ground in Dubai. We had the opportunity to take a site, which is easier said than done, insofar as most properties are unable to achieve licensing. And so it works very differently in Dubai to here. So when this opportunity came up in the basement of the Hilton Hotel in Jumeirah, we pounced on it because we have a team in place. We know that Dubai will be a fantastic arena for boom. But it was, if I'm honest, a tad more opportunistic than strategic. However, focusing in strategically on the UK is absolutely the right thing to do in the short to medium term. We've said previously that we believe Escape Hunt is good for at least 50 sites owned and operated in the UK, and we only have 20 today, so there's a runway to go after. Again, we've said that Boom is good for 100 sites, but we have 27 today, so again, a lot of runway to go after. But that said, we recognise the scale of the international opportunity is significant if we can work out how to, you know, attack it, if that's the right word, at the right point in time. So we will be looking to put in a lot of thought and perhaps some test plays to think about where we would go, how we would go there, with whom, what the operating structure would look like. If it's going to be a franchised opportunity, how best to approach that, and what would we need to do for the underlying business to become attractive to the kind of franchisee that can do 20 to 30 sites rather than one to two. So that exploratory work will begin, but the short to mid-term strategic focus is absolutely on maximising the UK's opportunity.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, okay then, Richard, if you could give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox if they, you know, if they're listening to this and liking the sound of where you're going, and why they should add XP Factory to their watch list, please.
Well, I think the first reason is, you know, we're a very fast-growing business in exactly the right space. Experiential leisure is hot. I can't see that as a dynamic disappearing anytime soon. And there aren't that many businesses to pick from in our space. So I think back experiential leisure would be a very good place to be. I would suggest that, you know, if we do nothing other than allow the sites that we have to mature, you will see a business whose economics are materially higher this coming, you know, 23 over 22. And of course, we're not going to do nothing. We're still growing and we're still investing in our existing sites. And I suppose, you know, the third reason is probably just take a good look at the box economics that we generate. The return on capital in both businesses is incredibly high, 35% on Escape Hunt. Early indications are that it's going to be higher than that, quite significantly higher than that for Boom. Look at the margins that we see in Escape Hunt, 42% EBITDA closing out the back end of last year. You know, there are not many businesses delivering numbers like that. And when you compare that with Boom, which is trending very much towards those high, you know, sort of that 25% mark that we would target for ourselves, I'd suggest there are a lot of reasons to understand that this is a very good business to back.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Richard, good to chat to you. Hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it, Justin. Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.